Welcome to the Feminine Podcast, the official podcast of Feminine. Talking about everything in between, yes, a little bit of femme, yes, a little bit of EM. Hello, listeners, it's Risa E. Lewis. I'm here today with two guests. The title for today's podcast, our focus is Makers in Healthcare, How to Create Your Own Podcast. Today's guests are Drs. Geeta Pensa and David W. Wright, my guests. Please say hello.
Hi there. It's Geeta Pensa.
Hey, this is David Wright. Hello.
Hello. So both of you are on here. We've had a little bit of pre-meet and we're talking about podcasts. Can you please each introduce yourself? Geeta, why don't you start?
Sure. I'm Geeta Pensa, and I am a newly minted associate professor of emergency medicine. I just got promoted in July.
Yes.
Thank you. Yay. I'm at Brown in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was strictly community emergency medicine for 13 years, and then I went back to academics in 2014. And since then, my primary interests have been digital education. I do educational blogging, podcasting, FOMED stuff, and I do the early access podcast for the Academic Emergency Medicine Journal. I've done a little bit here and there for MRAP. And then in 2018, I began speaking widely and podcasting about litigation and litigation stress, because I thought this was a really neglected part of our education as physicians.
Great. David, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm David Wright. I'm the interim chair for emergency medicine at Emory University, the greatest emergency medicine program in the country. Sorry, guys. So I started a podcast now almost a year and a month ago, this month. And the podcast is a little bit different. I think we're going to talk about it today, so I won't spill the beans yet. I've been at Emory for 22 years now. Gosh, hard to believe. Gone up through the ranks. My area of interest has been, prior to taking over the leadership, is research. So was vice chair for research before becoming interim chair. That's who I am.
One of our podcasts, Geeta, is a little bit more for public consumption, meaning it's out there, you can find it, and the message is, I'm going to tell you about something and provide you with some information that's going to help you in your everyday practice and in your everyday work. David's podcast is a little different, and his intentions are different, and in fact, Geeta and I both agree it's really creative and innovative. David, I want to just highlight you as a special guest to Feminine Podcast. You know, often we have women as guests, and you're here providing diversity, but don't think it's because of your gender. It's because of your voice. We don't often get someone from the South on our podcast. So I love your voice. I love your audio. I love your podcast. And so thank you for making time for us.
You're welcome. And if you have any problems understanding me, I can send an interpretation of it by written form.
Great. Okay. So let's jump right in. Geeta, you start. What pushed you over the edge? What was your tipping point for saying, yes, I'm going to make a podcast and we want to amplify you? So give us the 2-minute elevator pitch on why listeners should add your podcast to their library.
Sure. Well, I'd been thinking about this and holding it in for a long time, but I had to wait to start this podcast for, well, kind of 12 years. I was in a very long malpractice case that from the time I saw the patient in 2006 to my second trial in 2018 was 12 years long. And I had to wait until the end of it before I started talking about litigation. And going through this process, I realized we are so woefully underprepared. And so now I've started this podcast. It's called Doctors in Litigation, the L Word. And you can find it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And first, I really want people to listen for the content. The grand majority of us will be sued at some point in our career. And we know that from the statistics. However, it's just something we don't like to talk about. The topic is pretty much taboo. But one other plug, other than the content, I really want listeners to feel engaged. So what I've tried to do is like really flex my editing skills. I have over a year's worth of interviews with physicians telling their own stories in their own voices, and interviews with lawyers and psychologists and psychiatrists and book authors. And I've had fun with the music, and you know, I'm just really trying to develop my skills. I'm not a professional, but I'm getting to be a much better amateur, and I'm really proud of the series so far.
So pivot, compare, contrast. David, tell us about your podcast.
Okay, well, my podcast is really totally different than what you just heard from Gita. My podcast is really aimed at internal audience. So just a little bit of background. Our department is very large. We have over 125 faculty, 100 plus APPs, and about 50 staff. So very large footprint. And we are located at multiple hospitals across Atlanta. And we particularly work we're assigned to work at one individual hospital. So really the only opportunity for us to kind of get together and communicate was faculty meetings. Well, of course, as you well know, in emergency medicine, we're 24/7. So about a third of the faculty are working at any given time. A certain percentage were just in an overnight shift, so they can't come. And then people have life, which prevents them from coming to faculty meetings. So we would have a relatively small number of faculty that would be able to show up to these meetings, and similarly for the staff as well. So I was just trying to figure out a better way to communicate. When I took over as interim chair, it was very apparent, again, from years of being here, but just in general, that communication was falling off within our department. And we really needed a better method to sort of have information exchange. And so I've been looking at multiple ways. Podcast is just one of the things that we are trying to deploy as a communications tool within the department. But specifically, the podcast was a way to get information out to the rest of the faculty that weren't able to show up necessarily at the faculty meetings. That sort of grew into sort of just kind of a chair's message to the faculty in addition. So I have a structure to my podcast, which is at the very beginning, I do some interesting point, or it could be a topic such as faculty development or leadership, or it could be an interview with an individual that's coming into our department, and I want people to get to know them. And then the second part are announcements. So the thing about being a part of a wonderful department like Emory is there are people getting awards all the time. And so I love announcing awards. It's very exciting. The first, 15 minutes of the announcement is congratulations to. And so those announcements we do, and then what meetings are coming up that people need to be at. And then I have an action items at the end to sort of sum up, okay, what is it from all this that over the next week before the next podcast, because I do them weekly, you need to do. So that's sort of the structure. Again, it's very internally focused as a way of information exchange.
Let's go at nuts and bolts for people that are taking notes. And don't worry, listeners, there will be show notes where we'll highlight a lot of this information. Software. Geeta, what do you use?
For digital audio editing, I use Hindenburg.
Okay. And for recording?
And for recording, I have a few things. If I'm recording my own voice and not interviewing anyone, I record directly into Hindenburg. I use my Mac setup and I just record straight into it using a USB mic. And if I'm doing a distance interview like we're doing today, I use Zencastr.
Got it. And is Hindenburg free or you have to pay?
Hindenburg, you can do a little short free trial to try it out. And then the basic version of it is, I think it's $99, a one-time fee. It's not even $99 per year. And it does really everything that I feel that I need.
Great. And David, what is your software?
I record on Audacity. And I use essentially, I first record it on my iPhone. That is my portable device, and I use a little microphone called a Shure MV88.
We're going to get into hardware. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, it plugs directly into that. But so I'll record first on the iPhone, and then I transfer that over to my Mac and bring that into Audacity to do editing on the recording. Occasionally, I will record directly into Audacity using a different type of microphone. And then for publication is Libsyn.
Got it. Okay, so I didn't mean to sort of make you like withhold information from the audience, but I wanted to try to break it down a little bit for them. So we basically what I'm hearing is there's software that you use for recording, which may or may not be the same software for editing, which may or may not be the same program for publishing. Let's jump into the hardware. David, tell us about your microphones and anything else you may use to get this produced.
The hardware that I use is a microphone for my iPhone, which is my quote-unquote portable podcast station. So I use an iPhone. I think I have a 7. I don't actually really know. And I use a Shure MV88. It's a little microphone that is made to plug directly in to an iPhone terminal. And I can't remember exactly what that iPhone plug is called, but it's whatever you charge your iPhone with. And it plugs directly into that, and it's a relatively high-quality microphone. I got it for, I believe it was $99 on sale, but regularly around $120 or $130 from Guitar Center. And, I bought it to record live music. I play music live, and so I got it to record that. So that was the primary reason, but it turns out to be a pretty good podcast. When I sit down to do the non-live part of the recording, I use the classic blue microphone that plugs into the USB port of my computer.
Geetha, tell us about your hardware.
For a mic, I use an Audio-Technica mic, the ATR2100. It's a combination USB and XLR mic, so I can plug it right into my computer to record directly into Hindenburg. And then if I'm taking it on the road to interview someone else, I can use it as an XLR and plug it into, I have like a Zoom HD recorder that is portable. So then I can plug it in that way too. So it's pretty adaptable and it's about $70. It's pretty cheap. And I use I use studio headphones, these semi-open studio headphones when I'm recording at my computer. And for those, I use the AKG K240 studio headphones. They're like about the same price and they're on Amazon. And I have a pretty cheap boom arm that I also got on Amazon. That's like, I think it was literally like $15. And so I use that for the ATR and that's pretty much it. Nothing too expensive.
In the closet, or not in the closet, where do you do your recording and how do you try to control ambient sounds?
I have recorded in a closet. It's a great place to record, right? But I just am sort of lucky in my home. There, actually just moved in May and I found a new spot. But for the first few years I was doing this, I had this great spot under the eaves in an old house, very low ceiling, pretty well padded area. And it just absorbed all the sound. It was great. I'm in my new space. You can tell me how it sounds by listening. But it's in a very small bedroom, and there's lots of padding around, and a big quilt on the bed. And I'm in like a little alcove where so that I have, I'm sort of surrounded on three sides by walls. And then the computer screen is pretty large. I don't have any additional padding. I haven't felt like there's been enough reverb to do that. But if I was ever really nervous about that or about more ambient sound, or I could, I've been known to throw a blanket over myself and my computer and record that way.
Yeah.
That works.
David, tell us about your recording space.
So I have the Dave Cave, which is a basement that I go into. And I actually have an official music room and a recording site because my son records music. But I don't ever go in there. I just don't think I don't find it necessary. The microphone that I use, the Yeti Blue, really picks up too much, unfortunately. But the Dave Cave is pretty quiet. I just sit at the desk and do the work.
Yeah. So thanks for that lead-in regarding music. So I'm particularly intrigued in music, music selection, and podcast music, because sometimes there are podcasts I love, but I hate the intro. Or, you know, people will do a cappella, people will do hard rock, and it's very personality dependent. And so I would like you two to just briefly reflect on your music selections and choices. Tell us how you came up with yours. Gita, why don't you go first?
So I just like listening to music. I was a musician in a former life, and I love sound, and I'm just sort of into it. And so I kind of like listening to music that I can use on a couple of different sites. And so there's a free one that I use that's called freemusicarchive.org. And that music is all available there under Creative Commons licensing. And that's where the theme music for my podcast is from. It's this, an artist who goes by Benjamin Banger, and I love it. And the second site I use is called audioblocks.com. You pay like a yearly subscription fee for it, but I think that it's completely worth it for me because I do other podcasting for the Journal and for Brown. And so it was $99 a year for the first year. Then I think next year is going to be like $140 for the year, but it's worth it to not have to worry about royalties or copyright or anything like that. And so I actually really enjoy, I have like, it allows you to save your favorites and things like that. So I'll go through and listen to snippets of sounds and be like, oh, I like this, and then I save it under sort of various, you know, folders. And then I pull it out when I feel like it would be good to use. But I have a lot of fun with the music.
David.
Wow, Gita, you do way too much work. Mine is totally non-professional, and actually, it's a source of complaints for my podcast. A lot of people don't like my intro, and so I'm gonna literally go on a search for some other. And I'm a musician too, so I just sort of, when I started the podcast, I looked at it as more of a news kind of delivery. And so I went through, and I think I used the site that you described first, which was the free one, and found something that sounded like what Walter Cronkite, if anybody on the podcast is old enough to know who that is, used to use. So I just have sort of a generic kind of intro into a news segment. But I'll probably be looking for some music. I mean, my phone ringtone is Back in Black, so but that just didn't seem to fit. So I'll be on a search for some because I've been getting some complaints.
Okay, I'd like, based on your experiences with podcasting, can you share with the listeners some pearls and pitfalls to help them navigate if they are motivated to start their own podcasts?
Well, I think a really good tip is just to kind of start very basic. When I first started, had in classic style, had committed to doing a podcast before I knew how to do a podcast. And I had a deadline for the Journal, and I tried to learn Adobe Audition, you know, in a day. And it was so frustrating to me, to like the point of tears. And then luckily someone told me about Hindenburg. I watched some videos. It was very intuitive. And so I just started really very simply. And then I could start sort of layering on some new and interesting stuff and kind of picking up some editing techniques and just sort of building from there. I also learned the hard way that if you're using Zencastr or other ways of doing remote interviewing, that you should have a backup plan. So I always ask my guests to do a local recording on their end using QuickTime or voice recorder on PC. And then they can send it to me if Zencastr fails to upload the interview so that you don't have to do it all again. I did that once and then I learned my lesson. And then finally, one piece of advice is to always listen one final time before you publish something. And I try to listen to the draft like in my car or somewhere different from where I recorded it. And you can often find mistakes that way that you're just like, oh, you know, I'm glad I caught that in the nick of time. And then you can just sort of do your last minute edits and then publish it.
So those are great ones. Number one, get to know your software and your hardware ahead of time before you're going to record. Listen to the draft before you publish it. And the one in between you offered was have a backup, like make sure you have a backup because technology fails and Wi-Fi signals get interrupted, as we've learned today on the program. David, what are your pearls and pitfalls?
So I would reiterate what Gita said, which is don't be overwhelmed by the technology. It's very, very easy. If an old guy like me can adopt this technology into a podcast, anyone, literally anyone can. So start simple. As Gita said, there's a lot of freeware out there. There are multiple YouTube videos on how to do it. And it's really only just the three parts. It's how you record and what you record on. Then it's what you edit on, then it's what you publish on, and that's it. And it's not very complicated.
This has been so much fun. Gita and David, thank you so much for joining me today. You are makers, you are creators, you are pushing things forward innovatively for emergency medicine, for medicine in general. Listeners, just to highlight the names of these podcasts, one is Doctors in Litigation, the L word. The second podcast is EEM Chairs Podcast, more for internal communications announcements, a very innovative way to harness communication in a very large emergency department in Atlanta, Georgia. Some announcements before we sign off for today. Tickets really still are available for Fix 19. The welcome party is something you're not going to want to miss. It's Sunday, September 15th, and there's going to be a book party, book signing for Dr. Jennifer Gunter. Her book is The Vagina Bible. Fix 19 tickets there are to attend on Monday the 16th of September and Tuesday the 17th. Those also are still available. Send us comments, leave us your thoughts in the show notes. Take a look at the show notes and please follow Gita's podcast. It's something you won't regret and it'll help you be healthier in emergency medicine. That's it, listeners. Gita, David, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Till next time.